from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, America's political divide may not be as vast as we think. That's according to a recent report by a nonpartisan initiative called More in Common. Their study found that we overemphasize how extreme the political views are of our opponents, and the group urges both Democrats and Republicans to talk to people with differing views. We'll hear about the findings. Then at 9:30, we get an update on the major earthquakes that rocked Southern California this week. We'll hear why early earthquake warnings weren't triggered in Los Angeles and discuss why experts predict that an early warning system would not be effective in the Bay Area. That's all next after this news. Welcome to this morning's Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Another day, another story about political polarization. And yet, a study published just last month shows that Americans' political beliefs are more nuanced and less extreme than their political opponents believe. For example, Republicans think that half of Democrats would say that the police are bad people, when in reality only 15% hold that view. The survey, conducted by a nonpartisan initiative called More in Common, urges both Democrats and Republicans to get out of their silos and talk to people with differing views. Joining us now to discuss the Perception Gap report is Dan Vallone. He's U.S. Director for More in Common. Welcome, Dan Vallone.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me on the show.
Glad to have you with us. And let me begin by just asking you, we'll give some more examples of what was found, but the bottom line is that the belief in different views is about twice different from what actually those views are in terms of political opponents. So does that mean we have a lot less polarization than we think we do? And does it also mean that we have more in common than we think we do?
It means both those things. It means that we are perceiving a much more exaggerated state of political polarization than is reality. And there are kind of three main findings that I just want to tease out up front, the first of which is what you just said, that on average, Democrats and Republicans think that approximately two times as many people in the other party hold extreme views relative to what the actual number is. And the second finding is the more partisan someone is, the more exaggerated their perception of the other side is. And the third is that there's actually different factors contributing to this perception gap for Republicans and Democrats. So it's not the same problem in both political parties, but there's actually a nuance where it seems to be conservative media has a much more profound impact in inflating perceptions of Democrats. And on the liberal side, we see a much stronger correlation between social circles and perception gaps. So it's really interesting to understand what factors are driving this perception gap.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the media, but also in your study, a serious finger is pointed, or a number of fingers are pointed, arms really, at the colleges that skew perceptions as well of both sides, but in many ways, particularly Democrats' views.
So we did find that as education levels increased among Democrats, that perception gaps also increased. So the most accurate people in our survey, and our survey was over 2,000 people, nationally representative, the most accurate people in terms of understanding the viewpoints on the other side were actually Democrats who hadn't graduated high school. And among the most inaccurate for the Democrats are Democrats with a postgraduate degree. So strong correlation. When we dug into it, what we discovered, though, what we think is probably more of the contributing factor, it's not necessarily to say we're saying that higher ed contributes to misperceptions, but what we found is that as Democrats gained greater education, their social circles became much more homogenous. And so if you are a Democrat who had a graduate degree, for example, your social circle is almost entirely people who have similar viewpoints. Whereas if you're a Democrat who has a high school degree, you reported having lots of friends who have different viewpoints. And so we think that is a more important factor in contributing. It's a kind of that social bubble that we see people falling into in person and online.
Although many would suggest that the universities are, this would be a conservative argument, I think, that they're overrun by liberal professors, and that's the reason.
So, and you certainly hear that, and I think that we would be confident in saying that our findings should be taken by higher education and examined, because there are steps that we can take. We look to higher education to equip us with a better a way to approach reality. We want higher ed to be a leader in terms of illuminating how do we understand truth and facts. And so the fact that there is this correlation, at least, does raise some questions about how can higher education do more to cultivate really diverse ideological circles among their students, and how can they challenge their students, their faculty, their administrators to broaden that spirit of inquiry to encompass a broader set of ideologies.
Well, it's certainly disturbing to assume that the people who care the most about politics have perhaps the least understanding of their political opponents. But let's get into this misunderstanding or misperception that's at the heart of your study. And I should mention that this was a study that was done right after the midterm elections. You've got, at this point, just simply viewing people as being from different sides as being more brainwashed and more hateful and all of those things that we ought to be concerned about. But just to give some examples here, we mentioned that Republicans think Democrats would say most police are bad people, but actually only about 15% of them did. But you've also got Democrats, for example, saying or estimating about half of Republicans would say that racism is still a problem when actually it was 79%, according to your study.
Yes, that's true. And we found other kind of similar findings where, for example, Democrats think that only about half of Republicans support a properly controlled immigration as a good thing for America, when actually the number is 85%. And so you can see how that kind of perception gap actually really contributes to lack of progress in our national capital around issues such as immigration, where there are policy solutions that have clear appeal to all sides and should be moving forward, but are inhibited by these misperceptions where we think the other side has an extreme viewpoint.
So, yeah, can you talk about what you found in immigration? Because that was pretty, in many ways, conspicuous and certainly impressive in terms of the numbers.
Yeah, no, and I think this is, I should step back for a second and say this perception gap is a continuation of a larger study effort that we launched in 2018 called Hidden Tribes, a study of America's polarizing landscape. And in that, we segmented the country into seven different populations, consisting primarily of four groups that we called the exhausted majority, people who are fatigued by politics, who are fed up with the divisiveness, who are looking for really bold leadership and a sense of unity, and then three wing segments, one on the left, two on the right, that are much more partisan, much more about winning at all costs. And that study actually drove us to do this additional research into perception gaps because we found this really high level of animosity between the wing segments. So, you know, the most liberal and the most conservative groups really had very cold feelings towards one another, and we wanted to understand what was driving that animosity and what is it grounded in some sort of real appreciation of their positions. And what we found is that it's not, that much of that animosity is predicated on false understandings of the other side. And immigration is a great example of this, where, like I said, I mean, most 85% of Republicans support properly controlled immigration as a good thing for the country. When Democrats only think half Republicans believe that, you can see how there's less outreach to try and find a compromise solution. And on the flip side, Republicans think only 38% of Democrats oppose open borders, when in fact 71% of Democrats oppose open borders. And so you can see how in reality there's much more common ground. And I'm not saying it's easy to build off of that common ground, but it exists much more powerfully than you might think if you just were to observe political blogs or political reporting online.
We're talking with Dan Vallone, and speaking about political reporting, Mother Jones has a writer named Kevin Drum, whom some of you I know are familiar with. He calls this nutpicking instead of nitpicking, taking the extreme kind of views and making them seem like they're identified with all of those who are, let's say, liberal or progressive on the one hand or conservative on the other. Interested to find out what your thoughts are about this. What questions do you have about the Perception Gap Report, and what, if any, common ground have you found with people of a different political party? You can give us a call now and let us know your thoughts. Our toll-free number is available, and the number to call is 866-733-6786. That number again for your involvement in the program is 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions or comments you might have to forum@kqed.org. Again, Dan Vallone is with us. He's U.S. Director of More in Common, and I should say that there was a group that was taken up to Michigan. I don't know if you know about this, Dan. It was organized actually by a labor organizer. It's a bunch of New York Jewish women, older women, who were described as liberal, and they met with a group of conservative Christian correction officers, mostly men. And then they went back to New York with the men and so forth, and their views couldn't be farther apart. unimaginably farther apart on almost every issue. But what they discovered was seeing the human side of them and seeing views that were much more nuanced, and that pretty much conforms with what you've discovered. That is, a lot of these differences are perhaps not as ingrained nor as extreme as most people assume they are. And yet we've got social media and we've got Trump and we've got factors that continue to make us feel polarization is what we eat and breathe.
No, absolutely. And that, I think you're referring to a great story that Amanda Ripley wrote about in the Washington Post. And it really, I think, hits home for us as certainly one thing I want to make clear is all of our surveys in the U.S., and we do surveys in the U.S., U.K., France, Germany, and across Western Europe, we definitely find that extreme views exist and views that we all would find wrong, racism, xenophobia, sexism, they exist, but they exist at a proportion that is much smaller than what we might think if we were to just consume political coverage from whatever our source, our media sources are. And that story really hits home how when you go out and meet people, even people with whom you have a pretty profound political disagreement, what you find is that they're much less scarier than they are made out to be by kind of the presentment on social media in particular. But two, you have a conversation about shared values. There's so much more that unites Americans of any kind of gender, sect, orientation, political and otherwise. There's so much more that unites us than what actually divides us. And so what I also like about that story is at the end of these exchanges where they go back and forth, New York and Michigan, you know, at the end, people still believe what they believed about political issues. It's not as if they had a conversion per se, but they had connections that really were of a much greater meaning to them with these people who have much different political ideologies. And so their whole viewpoint on politics had changed in a way that creates more space for dialogue, more space for coming together to actually solve problems. And so,
yeah, I was struck by that story. I mean, I was particularly struck by the fact that you, for example, had a lesbian woman lawyer who lived in a partnership with another woman, and she was with a man who was dead set against gay marriage. But these people were eating ice cream together. You had this man who was dead set against gay marriage who had guns in his basement, and this was a woman who was in favor of gun control, and yet they could somehow communicate. I mean, it was a hopeful story, and yet at the same time, there are many who feel these false impressions that you're writing about are pulling people more and more apart. And is it maybe that, or is polarization itself overstated? Is it simply, in other words, perhaps a question of moving more toward the center that we need to all do and think about, like George Packer and others have said?
So I think there's a little bit of both. I would say that, so first, definitely, and we say this in the report and we say it kind of organizationally, as individuals, all of us can do more to stop participating in what we call the polarization ecosystem. And what this means is, as individuals, we can broaden the scope of sources from which we get our news. So instead of just relying on a single channel or a single set of podcasts or radio stations, actually intentionally go out and listen to a diverse array and actually try and hear what people who have with different viewpoints are saying. And second, you know, intentionally try and create social connections with individuals who have a different ideological viewpoint. That second one is hard, right? I mean, geographical sorting is a real phenomenon in America. People are kind of more geographically segregated than we have been before, but you can still, even in whatever kind of community you're in, you can find people who have different viewpoints. And there are great groups like Better Angels and One America who are facilitating connections and exchanges like the one that we talked about in Michigan, and between Michigan and New York. So when you have those kinds of experiences, you will see that polarization is not as extreme as we think it is. But with that said, the most politically powerful groups are the most polarized. And so that's a real structural problem we have in this country. And we need leaders to step up and start talking about it explicitly as something we need to overcome as a country.
All right. I want to get to our callers and just mention that a lot of this is based, this misperception, according to the report, on caricature. And we ought to keep that in mind as well. There are more Democrats who think Republicans are all evangelicals or rich old people, and more Democrats who think all, excuse me, more Republicans who think all Democrats are secular, black, or gay. And let's go to our callers. And let's begin with a caller from San Francisco. Mark, that's you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the call. And interesting. And I think you actually hinted at the question I had with your last comment. But basically, it sounded to me as though the prevalence of people with extreme viewpoints is less, based on your research, than one might expect. But the influence of people with these extreme viewpoints seems to be significantly greater than it should be, given their numbers. And so my question is whether your research indicates that, you know, that's true or not, and what we can do about that, if anything.
Okay, thank you for that, Dan Vallone.
Thank you, Mark, and you're absolutely right. I think that's exactly the way to frame it, that the kind of frequency of these extreme viewpoints is much smaller, but that the influence is disproportionate to their actual number. And we see this confirmed through a number of other, you know, Pew and others who do public opinion and public values polling will find that, you know, the most politically active, whether it's liberal or conservative, tend to be white, more white than the general population. They tend to be better educated, and they tend to be more affluent. So the groups that are the most polarized disproportionately occupy positions of authority in politics and in media and in other positions of influence. So they are creating the narratives that too often govern our kind of civil interactions, when in reality, the picture is much more nuanced and it's much more unified than it would be made out to be by those who have a really strong incentive to inflate conflict in obscure areas of agreement.
Let me, in fact, thank Mark for the call and go to more calls and just mention that the study also said that we're coming off a July 4th weekend, that Democrats, about half, would be perhaps inclined to say they were proud to be Americans, according to Republicans. Actually, it's over 4 in 5 would have said that. And Republicans guessed that fewer than 4 in 10 Americans would reject the idea of, Republicans guess that fewer than 4 in 10 Democrats would reject the idea of open borders. Actually, it's 7 in 10 say they reject open borders. Let me go to some more calls here, and let's go next to you, Michael, joining us from Boston. Good morning.
Yes, I'm concerned that the wording may paper over some differences. Nobody tends to say that they believe in unreasonable solutions. So, for example, people across the spectrum may say they believe in a reasonable immigration policy, but mean very different things by it. And people know that they're not supposed to be racist, so they'll very often will say that they're not racist, but then go on to say very racist things.
I think Michael has an excellent point, and Dan Vallone, I'm inclined to agree with him. Also, the way these questions are phrased, of course, has a big part, too, in any kind of poll. But your thoughts?
So, Michael, it's a great and important point. What our data says and what our survey, and if you go to other surveys done by groups who do public opinion polling, I will say that when you use the common reference points, common terminology, as we did, your point is important to keep in mind that, yes, people have different conceptions of what a practical solution might be around immigration, but the fact remains that Democrats still have a dramatically exaggerated sense for the number of Republicans who would even come to the table for that kind of conversation. And similarly, Republicans have an equally distorted viewpoint of how many Democrats are interested in having any kind of border solution and security. So, yes, I think when you get to the table, there's going to be more nuance that we can't dive into with this kind of report. But the fact is very true that the groups don't even see the ground to come together. And that is a huge problem, and the problem that we're trying to elevate with this research.
Let me read a couple comments that are coming in. Ravi writes, I appreciate the research findings, but isn't it the case that the leadership of each party is more polarized and partisan than the electorate, and this is made worse by gerrymandering? From my perspective as a Democrat, I see intransigent bomb throwers and hardline obstructionists on the Republican side, some of whom seem to be uninterested in little d democracy. I don't think the country is as crazy as them, but they are driving the bus right now, and I agree we need connection above all. We are more than our opinions. And Mike writes, if I express any opinion on Trump other than that he is evil incarnate, Democrats don't want to hear it. Let me go to more of our calls. Let me go next to Greenberry and welcome Dan. Dan, you're on.
Hi, thanks. So, in respect to the previous caller, use of language and how you phrase things is critical to how people answer questions. I don't want to necessarily delve into that. But if you can extrapolate from that these kinds of studies are rarely good entirely on their own. You need to sort of do a larger meta study of a number of different things, much the same way 538 analyzes a series of polls, looks at good polling versus bad polling and so forth. So it really matters when you get down into it. But to the second point that you were making is that you're right. It's really more the leaders that are more polarized than others. So when you hear statements from Mitch McConnell saying things like, you know, Obama, our sole thing is to be a one-term president, or to make statements like, you know, the Senate is sort of the graveyard for all bills, when they make statements that our only goal is to put in, you know, Republican judges, and then it's amplified by, you know, Fox News. You know, it's very, very difficult to do these studies and think that you're going to get a whole lot of value.
Dan's point is well taken here, Dan. And Dan Vallone, let me go back to you on this. I mean, you've got the politicians and then you've got the people, and there is a divide there.
No, it's a great point, and thank you, Dan, for calling in and the previous callers who left comments. I think how we approach this is that there are important structural considerations that are really relevant in gerrymandering and kind of the nature of how we have a first-past-the-post kind of electoral system. So, but with that said, more in common does research across Western Europe and the U.S., and we see very similar trends happening in countries that have different electoral structures. So what we emphasize is that we need to be much more focused on creating and cultivating higher level sense of narrative around what it means to be American. These connecting around our sense of identity is a really important values-based approach that our Hidden Tribes report, our Perception Gap report has cleared the way to show that there's a lot of ground for people to come together, more ground than we think is possible, and we want to try and instigate these kinds of culture and values-based approaches because irrespective of the structural reforms that kind of may or may not happen in the next few years, we still will have these very strong poles within politics pulling us apart, and we need to counter that with a much more strong sense of this is who we are that will sustain us through this period of political turbulence.
Again, we're talking with Dan Vallone. He's with us from New York City. He's U.S. Director of More in Common. Their new report is The Perception Gap. And Dan Vallone, let me get a response from you to a tweet that came from Morillo, who writes, how does the perception gap explain or inform movements like Black Lives Matter or child separation and incarceration at the border? How is racism embedded in perception?
So it raises a number of important points, and I will say that our research doesn't dive into the specific responses to what the individual just raised. And so I think all this kind of come back to the fact that our perception gap was trying to tease out what factors are influencing how we understand people who have different political viewpoints. Because if we can better understand those factors, then we can start to move around them and adjust our own media consumption decisions, our social circle decisions, and we can advocate for our political leaders to start addressing the incentive structures that are pushing political and media actors to inflame division when we have so much in common. So I think that is the nature of our research. So I appreciate the points that they raised, but I want to underscore that we didn't have responses to those questions.
Well, you did have a response to a question I thought was very important about Muslims being good Americans, and Democrats estimated that Republicans would say only about half would agree with that, and it was like closer to two-thirds, actually two-thirds. So I wanted to get that out there too.
No, absolutely. And I think we had a similar question around the prevalence of sexism, where Democrats thinking less than half of Republicans thought it was still a significant frequency. And again, almost over two-thirds believe it's a significant event. And so there is, again, much more common ground to build upon across the political divide that seems so extreme.
Dan Vallone, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your being with us this segment of Forum. And you can actually see the link to the study, The Perception Gap, on our website, kqed.org/forum. Dan Vallone, again, is U.S. Director of More in Common. Their new report is called The Perception Gap. When we return, we're going to talk about earthquakes. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.